B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Not Anthony and Jason, where you got Andrew Salchunas and Jamie Lynch. I'm Jamie Lynch. You're Andrew Salchunas.
I'm Andrew Salchunas.
Apparently, we sound alike.
I think we have different voices. By the way, going back to Pete from Princeton's call.
Yeah, yeah.
And he brought up the Nate Sudfeld
thing. That's a really good answer.
No, it's a good point. I have a feeling that Carson plays all 16 this year.
I do, too. Apparently, he's taken his diet a little more seriously.
Yeah.
I think we mentioned it yesterday. If I was Doug Peterson and the offensive coordinators, I would sit Carson down. I'd make him a Russell Wilson mobility highlight package, because Williams.
You all right?
Not Robin Williams. Russell Wilson.
I watched Mrs. Doubtfire last night.
It's a great flick.
For about 5 minutes.
Drive by fruiting. I think he is the best mobile quarterback at avoiding contact. He is the blueprint for being a mobile quarterback, taking the least amount of hits possible. And look, I don't think Russell Wilson has, to my knowledge, missed a game in his career. I'd have to look that up, but he's never hurt. So if I was the coaches down there, I would tattoo Russell Wilson game film in Carson Wentz's head and say, look what he does, and try and emulate that. And look, it's on Carson. He has to help himself as much as possible this year.
You're right. Hasn't missed a game.
Hasn't missed a game.
16 games, 16 starts.
Look, Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he's got some frail kind of bones, but he's a very mobile quarterback that takes a lot of chances. And look, when you have 275-pound guys falling on you as you're throwing away awkwardly, yeah, it's going to lead to a broken collarbone here and there, and that's the type of thing that's happened to Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson, a little bit smarter at that position.
By the way, sorry, yeah. Before we go back to the phones, this is from Jim Salisbury, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Did they make a trade?
No. Right. Drew Smiley, who they signed today,
yeah,
could pitch as soon as Sunday, he says, and that would mean Vince Velasquez back to the pen.
Good.
So just the latest
pitch. Well, here's why. Look, obviously his numbers this year kind of suck. 8.48 ERA.
Kind of.
Yeah. All right. They're not good, Pat. I'm not sugarcoating it. He's a left-handed pitcher. He's had some mild success in the past.
A lot of injuries.
No, God, please, no. He's missed the last two seasons due to Tommy John.
Since 2016.
Yeah, I hear you.
Except for this year.
He's not Vince Velasquez. He's not Cole Irvin. I'll take a shot with him. It's possible. To me, the Drew Smiley signing is a precursor to something else. I think they're going to be real players for a Mike Minor, a Matthew Boyd, maybe even a Robbie Ray. I don't think Zach Greinke's going to come here. He has, I believe, the Phillies on his no trade list. He apparently has some big market East Coast anxiety because we're savages here that eat our young. So I wouldn't count on Zach Greinke, but a Mike Minor, a Matthew Boyd, maybe a Caleb Smith gets in the mix, Robbie Ray. Madison Bumgarner, he's a rental.
Here's your problem. Let me go to John Morosi's Twitter account, John Morosi, MLB Network.
Yep.
So the Phillies, yeah, they're interested in guys like Matt Boyd.
Yeah, because of control.
And Mike Minor, whatnot. The Twins are showing interest in Matthew Boyd.
Yikes.
I think the Twins,
they can actually win the World Series.
Yeah. They might give up a little more than what the Phillies
can
give up.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the Phillies, they don't have a ton to give up. But look, if you get a Mike Minor type,
yeah,
the guy's got a 2.7 ERA this year. He comes in as your team leader in
ERA. The problem is the Phillies aren't the only team that's trying to make trades.
So I know.
He also reports that the Padres are emerging as the series suitor for Trevor Bauer. I know the Phillies weren't linked to Trevor Bauer at all.
Jason Stark mentioned him 2 weeks ago with us.
Yeah, and the Padres have 7 guys in the top 100
that
are prospects.
I know.
So,
but one good thing is Chris Sale, apparently, I think he had 14 strikeouts last night. He appears to have found a little bit of a groove again for the Red Sox, and they were another team that was going to be in serious hunt of another pitcher. I heard on the ESPN overnight tonight that, you know, they kind of believe in Chris Sale again. So they were
also scouting Bumgarner last night.
That's fine. I do want Bumgarner, but I don't. I want a pitcher with more than this year's control. Because, look, we went over the free agent pitchers next year. It's not pretty. So I want a guy you can control. I think you have to address next year's pitching rotation this year at the trade deadline. So we'll get into all that coming up next. David in Baltimore is up next. What's up, David?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, man.
You know, when you guys have your own show, you should just call it the Not Anthony and Jason Show.
It's not a bad name.
Right? All right, so I want to get a little conversation with both of you, but especially Andrew, on Carson Wentz, all right?
Yep.
So I want to have a Q&A here with you real quick. You seem annoyed when people, call in and they like Foles more than Wentz, and you say, the Folesian society. And before I get to, my point about this, I'm just curious, why, though?
Yeah, why do you hate Wentz? Or why do you hate Foles?
Why do I hate Foles?
No, Wentz.
Wentz?
Come on, man.
Foles. I'm saying, when people call in and you say, oh, he's part of the Folesian society, and I'm just trying, I'm asking that question. Like, why do you get uptight about, like, people liking Foles?
No, like, I don't mind that people like Foles. I like Foles. I love what he did for the city, but a lot of people think that Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz.
So your problem is with the Nick Foles fan, like the hardcore.
Yeah, so there was a caller.
They ruined Nick Foles.
There was a caller earlier this week. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday, and it was right at the end of the show with Anthony, and a guy was calling in and basically kept on saying how, oh, Carson Wentz doesn't have as good as a deep ball as Nick Foles. Nick Foles is more clutch than Carson Wentz, and Nick Foles is this, and Nick Foles is that. And he's giving every single thing that Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz, and I don't agree with half the stuff that he said. But and it's a very vocal minority. It's not the majority. But there are some people that think Nick Foles is a top 10 quarterback in this league. And if you look at every single power ranking, every single offensive power ranking, what is the league telling you? The Jaguars are in the bottom five.
Right. Okay. So and I agree with you. Let me just bring up this quick point.
Mm-hmm.
When Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, I'm on record. I called in and said, Carson Wentz should be the quarterback. There's nothing.
I think it was a no-brainer decision.
Right. There's nothing that Nick does better than Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Then last year happened, which was just very interesting. He took a team that really was terrible. Terrible.
Yeah, injury depleted for sure.
Right. And injury depleted. He goes in. They win the game in L.A. He's almost basically an Alshon Jeffrey drop from possibly going to another NFC Championship game and maybe even another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that Carson is better. And I'm not taking anything away from Carson.
But you think Foles had a little bit of the magic?
It's just, I don't know how, and this is, I guess, just as frustrating as a fan, like, I don't know how you can deny the guy.
You can't.
Is unbelievable in clutch performance.
Oh, yeah, no.
You can't. And David, thanks for the call, buddy.
What Nick Foles did was incredible. And I think Nick Foles is a better quarterback than what we deemed him before he started playing again for the Eagles. Like, when he went to St. Louis.
He's had more good years than bad.
Yes. Like, I think Nick Foles is a good quarterback.
I think he's a mediocre ish quarterback.
Would you say he is a franchise quarterback?
Not particularly.
Would you say Carson Wentz is a franchise quarterback?
Yes. Yes. With Nick Foles, there's obviously, and I think this has to do, and Wentz has a lot of the same things, there's an off-the-field faith that I think allows them to realize that sports isn't that important in the grand scheme of things, so the moment's not too big with them. You know what I mean?
No,
and
Foles
does have that kind of magic. Like, when I see a guy like Eli Manning win two Super Bowl MVPs, what I think of with him is almost a guy that's too dumb to realize the moment. And I don't mean that, I'm sure he's a fairly intellectual guy, but he's almost just like, ha-ha, I'm Eli, I'm out here throwing footballs around, it's not so bad. You know, he doesn't think about the pressure, he doesn't think about the moment. And I think Foles did have some of that. Tyreek, I-95, what's going on, Tyreek?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How are you, man?
I'm doing good.
Good.
No, I actually, I got a person I feel like, my people I feel like need to step up in regards to, you know.
Yeah. Who's your most important Eagle this year?
I feel like it's not one. I just feel like it's somebody out of that running back committee. I need somebody to step up and become that lead back, that three down back. Me personally, I'm tired of having the first down, second back, then we got a third back specialist. I don't want that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, like
when I hear you.
When we had Westbrook, when we had McCoy, there were no third down specialists in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a change of pace is good, a rotation is good, but I need to know that I got one person out there, and then it makes the offense flow that much better.
Absolutely.
You're not guessing on, when you know what that person is going to bring to the table, so if it's pass protection, you know you're safe in that regard.
Yeah, I think Jordan Howard's going to be that dude. I really do. You know, he's a guy that had 1,300 yards, 1,100 yards, and then down to 935 last year with the emergence of Tariq Cohen. You know, Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson are very good friends. I'm sure they had honest discussions about this kid. And look, he's approaching the end of his rookie deal, so he's playing for a contract next year. So I think you're going to get the best of Jordan Howard. I'm looking forward to him. I think he will be that first and second down back. Third down, maybe you get a little Clement. I think Boobie Miles is going to have a little bit of a slow learning curve. He's got that soft tissue injury, you know, keeping him out of OTAs and all that stuff. But I think Jordan Howard's going to impress people this year. I really do.
I do as well, and I just hope that they don't push, you know, Sanders out there just because, you know, he got drafted where he got drafted and what we need, and he's expected to do X, Y, and Z. Let him grow into the position. Don't force him to go out there because you can make him regress in the pre-net process.
Absolutely. And look, so, Miles Sanders does have a little bit of a fumbling issue from Penn State that he needs to correct. And look, the quickest way to lose playing time is to allow Carson Wentz to get hit or to put the ball on the carpet. And
exactly.
I don't see any problem with letting him slow curve learn into the league at all, especially with Jordan Howard here.
Right. Wait, real quick. I was thinking about as I was on hold, I was thinking about another point that came to mind. The Phillies. Now, Dodgers being, you know, probably the best team in baseball, us coming into the series the way that we did, getting kicked in our mouth by two touchdowns the first game, I feel like all things considered, this series was okay.
I think it was a win. Look, you split with the best team in baseball. I'll take it. That's where they're at right now. I think it was a great series. Tyreek, you got FanFest tickets?
I don't.
Now you do. Pat and Tyler are going to hook you up. Thanks for calling in. You're listening to 97.5 Midday Show. We got Andrew Salchunas to my right. I'm Jamie Lynch. We're in with you until 2 o'clock before we hand off to Mikey Miss. Time at the Fanatic, 11:12.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back into the 97.5 Midday Show. Jamie Lynch, Andrew Salchunas. Talking a lot of Eagles football today as we're asking a very simple question. Who's the most important Eagle? And Carson Wentz is not part of the conversation because obviously, duh, Carson Wentz is the most important thing to this team, to this city, as we're, you know, next Thursday camp starts. I think Wednesday they check in, do the, you know, all that jazz. So we're talking a lot about that today. We're going to get back to the phone lines in 1 second. But during the break here, Andrew, the Tunish, we got a little Ken Rosenthal nugget out there regarding your Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic is reporting that the Phillies will almost certainly replace Michael Franco.
Hallelujah!
And they said it could be from the inside or the outside. Now, you got excited when I said inside because you thought it'd be Alec Boehm.
That's what she said.
Of course. But no, not Alec
Boehm. Well, Boehm will probably come up. I would imagine he'll be a September call-up for sure. But to me, look, I would make change for the sake of making change because I'm so done with Franco. I've been done with Franco for a long time. If you do bring Alec Boehm up, it is a desperate move.
Yes, but it wouldn't be with Boehm. It would be moving Scott Kingery to third base.
No! Yes. He can't play third.
He can't play third. He can't play short. He can't play outfield. He's a second baseman. I've been on this rant months, and I'm tired of it, but I'm not going to bring it up anymore.
I don't hate Cesar. I don't hate him. Scott Kingery needs to play second base for this team.
Yeah, Scott Kingery's doing a nice job in center field. He's making some incredible plays.
He saved Pavetta's ass the other night.
Yeah, he's jumping in the wall. He's making diving catches. It doesn't change the fact that he still does not have an arm to play center field.
And he doesn't have the arm for third base, and he doesn't have a good enough glove to play the hot corner.
Yeah, and one of the biggest problems is
I don't love that on the surface. At least Franco's going to give you great defense and an occasional pop.
Yes. So,
I need something better.
So it said internal or external candidate. So this tells me
what the hell? Like, what is this?
I don't know. Trade for a third baseman.
Well, yeah, clearly you guys forget about what Jason Stark said earlier this month.
What did Jason Stark say earlier this month, Pat?
Michael's not going to be here long. I would not be surprised if he gets traded. It's possible in July, but almost certainly this offseason. I also wouldn't be shocked if Anthony Rendon was playing third year next year.
Woo!
So if Anthony Rendon...
Look at Pat Egan with the production work back
if
there.
If Anthony Rendon
take
is,
it easy the rest of the day, Pat. You're done. You peaked.
Can I speak now?
I just wanted to give the man a compliment.
Good job,
as
Pat.
Two people that sat behind the glass for a long, long time, I'd like to appreciate some good producing when I see it.
Can I talk about my love for Anthony Rendon?
Anthony Rendon is damn good.
Yes. And
he's probably going to be... I mean, is he going to be close to a $300 million deal?
He could get paid.
Like, he might be at a minimum, like, 250.
Anthony Rendon is a fantastic player. He's a 300 hitter. He's hitting 316 this
phenomenal
season.
Phenomenal player.
Runs. He's a great fielding third baseman.
He's awesome.
He's the reason why Ryan Zimmerman ended up moving to first base, because Anthony Rendon had the upside.
Good on the Nats to recognize, hey, we got to make room for this kid, because what a talent.
Yeah. No, you're right, but here's the only problem. They are now playing very well. And they're now just 5.5 back of the Braves.
Dude, did you see their record since May 24th? They're like 31-13.
Yeah, they're playing.
They're one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Everybody talked about the Braves in the month of June, but the Nationals were right there too.
And yeah,
that's why they just beat up
the Braves.
That's why the Phillies are now in third place of the division.
Steven Strasburg with five ribbies yesterday.
Yeah, he had a home run yesterday.
And two singles.
So Rendon's not going to get traded, obviously.
No.
He's a free agent at the end of the season. So if the Phillies can sign Anthony Rendon, that would be fantastic. But the external candidate would also be somebody that they could trade for right now, because they're talking about moving Michael Franco this season.
Merrifield, another utility jackknife type of guy.
So I've been high on Whit Merrifield for the last couple of years.
He's a good player.
He would be a center fielder that could bat leadoff for you.
I know they had interest last year.
He's not a 300 hitter, but he has experience batting leadoff. Scott Kingery has played better baseball offensively when he's not been in the leadoff spot.
Yep.
His batting average dropped 50 points since he was put into the leadoff spot.
And not everybody can do it.
So if you could go back, let's just say Merrifield's the center fielder that you get, and then Scott Kingery ends up playing third. Now
I don't love it, but I'll take it.
Yeah, exactly. You'll take it. Now your lineup is Merrifield, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Bruce, if he eventually comes back, could be five, or Real Muto's five, Kingery six. I mean, Bruce was hitting seventh at first when Kingery was batting sixth.
As long as they bring a pitcher in addition to, because this team ain't doing anything without another pitcher.
Yeah, I've been saying for a couple of weeks, I need a starting pitcher and I need an actual leadoff hitter, because Scott Kingery isn't a leadoff hitter.
And real quick, just while we go back to the phone lines here, I want you to jot down, because we still have to get into the Hector Neri stuff, jot down your guys in order. So the names rumored out there, Madison Bumgarner, obviously. Robbie Ray is a name.
I'm officially out on Bumgarner.
I am too, because of I don't want a rental piece.
Exactly. Bumgarner's actually been pitching better than what a lot of people
have
been saying.
I think he went 9 innings yesterday in a 16-inning game. So normally should have been a complete game.
Yes.
But
no, he's been consistently going 6-7 innings almost every single start.
Yeah, and talk about big game pitchers. There's none better than Mad Bum. But because of no control in the rental aspect, he's at the bottom of my
list.
So I want you to rank your guys, Robbie Ray, Mike Minor, Matthew Boyd, Caleb Smith.
I think Caleb Smith is a free agent after this year too, isn't it?
I'd have to double check on that. I think they still have like a year or two of club control. But you look up that and rank the pitchers that you would target as the host of the Fanatic Baseball Show. I got to get your opinion on that. But let's go back to the phone lines to Z in Upper Darby. What's going on, Z?
Hello.
Yo, what's up, Z?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, man. What's on your mind here with the Eagles? I got a football itch, man.
I just wanted to say you guys are doing a great job in the absence of Jason and the Cubs.
Thanks. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously the obvious individual that needs to, you know, do good is Carson. But I just want to get out of this whole Negadelphia mentality that we all have and turn it into a Positophian mentality. If you see what's going on in the NFL and the NBA, like, we are the team to beat right now. Like, it's guaranteed we're going to win the NFC East.
Dallas is a good team.
Well, who's saying otherwise? Like, who's being negative right now?
No, I'm just saying, like, it's a lot of doubt. Like, oh, Carson's going to get injured, or he's going to do like.
Yeah, but those people have reason to be justified in that thought. I mean, he has been injured like five of the last 6 years he's played football.
Z, don't even think about week one. Think about Carson Wentz's first hit in a preseason game. The second he goes down,
I'm probably going to poop.
Yeah, we did that with Joel Embiid last season.
Yeah, I agree that he's had this injury history and whatnot, but I feel like he's coming back stronger with a chip on his shoulder.
So do I. You know, and Z, look, I want to believe in my soul that he's going to play all 16 games this year, but I can't tell somebody that has injury concerns about him that they're not justified in their thinking, because the track record says they are.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, you got to look at it like, you know, Tom Brady went through a major injury as well. He tore his ACL, and he managed to come back and, you know, do well. So we just, you know, have to believe. That's the main thing.
You know? you're saying the positive mental thinking and think it into existence.
Exactly. I think that's very important.
You know, all right.
I feel like we have a great organization. We have a great coaching staff. We got great management. I feel like we are Super Bowl contenders. And we've already.
Oh, damn right we are. But if Carson were to go down, We're not.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I could go out and get struck by lightning, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There's no point in dwelling on that.
I hear you, Z, and thanks for the call, buddy. I was going to give him FanFest tickets, but totally forgot there. 610-632-0975. We got a couple open lines if you want to get in, but let's go to Rick in Turnersville next. What's up, Rick?
Hey, Jamie.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
You too, Chop Liver. What's up?
What?
You guys are doing great.
Thanks. Listen, thank you, Rick.
I think the obvious thing is here. You say one person. It's by far, it's the offensive line. It's no question.
Yeah, I mean, there are two question marks there in two of our best players.
Well, here's the thing. Carson and last year Foles, they took a lot of abuse. I mean, there was a very mediocre offensive line. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, Lane Johnson, I think, had the worst kind of like 5 or 6 game stretch of his career.
He got pushed around like
he did. And look, a couple of the sacks that led to turnovers and big spots last year, they were strictly on Lane Johnson. And, you know, he stabilized. He got better. I know he had the MCL tweak and all that. And he stabilized that line when he came back together. But, yeah, there's no doubt they struggled a little bit early last year.
Thank you for that. But not only that, you got Brandon Brooks coming off a bad injury.
Huge question mark.
Huge question mark. And this is what I'm saying. God bless Jason Peters. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got the size of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But he's not going to last.
No, he'll probably be good for, I would hope, 85% of the snaps this year.
So you're going to tell me that this isn't a bad to mediocre offensive line?
I can't say bad because Lane Johnson, I think, is the best right tackle in football. I think you still have the best center in football in Jason Kelce.
Oh, yeah. No question.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, even 85% of Jason Peters, I'll take over 90% of the left tackles in the league. And then I'm hopeful that Brandon Brooks is going to return to form. That's a big question because an Achilles on a big man is certainly no piece of pie injury.
Look at Ryan Howard.
Yeah. No, it's a tough one for sure. Rick, it's a very fair point.
Second of all, how is all these people saying they're a great offensive line? Who's saying this?
PFF and a couple other publications out there rated them as the top offensive line.
Hey, I think they're going to go far, but I think they're going to go as far as the offensive line takes them.
It's very fair. Rick, do you have a pair of FanFest tickets?
No, I don't.
We got you now. We'll hook you up. Don't forget, FanFest is coming up August 24th. You ready to get the stopwatch going?
Well, real quick, I'm not that concerned about the offensive line.
You're not?
No.
Brandon Brooks doesn't give you any concern?
No.
Achilles on a big man is a...
What concerns me is when they say he's trying to get back for week one. Like,
yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Give it a couple of weeks.
He was Trey's seen him. Trey's close with him. He said he's out there looking good, pushing sleds.
Just give it a couple of weeks.
I hear you. And he was just at the O-line Masterminds camp with Lane Johnson down in Dallas. Now, Pat, who is your most important Eagle of the season?
It's Brandon Brooks.
Okay.
There you go. By far.
Yeah,
because, because of the injury. He was such a big part of this offensive line last year. We don't know what we're getting if he's out.
Yeah, so I guess come back. I guess Wiz and Sayamalu would fight out for the starting position. I guess Sayamalu's on the left. I'm sorry. So it would be Wiz.
Yeah.
Wiz is your guard and center backup here.
Yeah, and really he's a center.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you can get a healthy Brandon Brooks back, that is massive. And like healthy and return to form.
He's one of the best right guards in the league, and you have the best right side of the line and possibly in the entire league with Lane and Brandon are great. They nicknamed themselves Forrest and Bubba.
Nice.
Because they're like best friends off the field. They hang out all the time together, which is awesome. So they named themselves. I mean, look, Forrest and Bubba is the best right side of the line in all of football. So, yeah, Brandon Brooks is a great answer. And the question we're asking people today is, outside of Carson Wentz, who's the most important Eagle to this season? Because I think everybody will tell you it's obviously Carson Wentz. Hassan in South Philly is up next. What's going on, Hassan?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Doing great, man. What's on your mind?
That's good. Before I get to the important player point, I want to make a quick point about Foles. I'm very appreciative of what he did for the city, with Carson going down and things like that. He stepped up and they game plan for him good. But I kind of think, okay, Carson gets hurt week one, say that year. I don't see Foles carrying us through the entire season to get us to the Super Bowl that year.
Probably not, because, Hassan, you're right. I mean, home field advantage, without that, we probably don't win the Super Bowl.
Right, he's a spurt. We'll get to actually see what he's really about with these people thinking he's
absolutely. And it's going to be...
He'll have a full season this year.
And Hassan, I think everybody in Philadelphia is going to be following the Jacksonville Jaguars this season for that exact reason. You know,
I think that's the same reason why, too.
Yeah, like, yeah, I want to see how he does in a 16-game season.
Exactly. With that being said, I was listening to Mike one day. Carson's had a couple of injuries, but I don't necessarily say he's injury-prone. I would say more he's prone to injury. I think any quarterback that takes constant abuse... When you had a beat-up line and stuff like that, you put yourself in harm's way. Now, I think this year, if they plan better for him, game plan better for him, and put him in better situation, he has to make good decisions, too.
Absolutely, and that's why I sat down with that Russell Wilson film, and I say, look, this is a mobile quarterback with a great arm. You can be exactly this, and Russell Wilson hasn't missed a game in his career because he's smart about the hits he takes.
I think he's the smartest player in the league.
He might be.
He
might be.
Now, if all that happens and he stays healthy, I think the most important player for him will be DeSean Jackson because Carson will have something he didn't have in his career, which is a player that can stretch the field for him.
Yeah, and that's Andrew's guy as well, Hassan. It's a very good one because, look, DeSean should make everybody's life easier. You can't double-team Alshon. You can't double-team Ertz. You got to respect Deshaun's speed. And he's going to make Carson's life better. He's going to make all the receiving threats' lives better. It's a great answer.
Yeah, I think we're going to go far this year. I think your game plan for him better. He'd be a lot smarter decisions.
Absolutely.
So I think we'll do good this
Hassan,
year.
You got a pair of FanFest tickets?
No, I don't.
You do now. Hold on. We'll get you up. And DeSean is another answer. The most commonly given answer so far, DeSean Jackson.
Back in Philly, though. You feel me?
Yeah, we do feel you, DeSean. I loved DeSean Jackson when he was here. I'm pumped. The first bomb that Carson connects with to DeSean, I'm probably going to run out of my house screaming.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I mean, I'm just looking at numbers, right? So the reason why I said DeSean Jackson, and Hassan just brought it up, is the fact that they didn't have a deep threat really in Carson's career.
Well, he lost game one last year with Mike Wallace?
Mike Wallace goes down. So Torrey Smith in 2017, and this was Carson Wentz's MVP-like season. This was the year they won the Super Bowl. During the regular season, Torrey Smith only had 36 catches.
Yeah.
And he was targeted 67 times. He only had 36 catches, and it was only 11.9 yards per reception. But it opened up the field for Zach Ertz,
absolutely.
Alshon Jeffery, Nelson Aguilar. So, and the defenses had to be aware of Torrey Smith. Now, DeSean Jackson, the reason why I say he's the most important is not only because you finally have that deep threat, but at the same time, you need him to stay healthy. He only played 12 games last year. He played 14 games in 2017. So the guy has missed time in recent years. In Washington, he only played 10 games one season. So he's missed a lot of time in his career because he's a smaller dude, and that's what normally happens with these burners that go down the field. They end up getting hit somewhere. If they go across the middle, they usually get banged up. So that happens. But I need him to play 14, 15 games this year.
Oh, yeah. We had somebody this morning ask us, do you think DeSean Jackson can be a Pro Bowler? No, I don't really. He's if you look at his numbers, they're pretty consistent like throughout his career. He's kind of like that 800-yard guy, kind of get you like 7 touchdowns. That's not a bad thing,
no.
Obviously, but it's not Pro Bowl, and there's so many guys to throw to this year in this offense. You know, I just don't think there's enough balls to go around.
Jeez. So, like last year, he only played 12 games, but he was targeted 74 times.
Yeah.
When Jameis Smith was here.
I mean, remember what he did to the Eagles last year?
Yeah. Torrey Smith. Well, last year was Ryan Fitzpatrick, remember? It wasn't Jameis Winston.
Fitzmagic.
So when Torrey Smith was here with the Eagles, he played 16 games and was only targeted 67 times. So DeSean Jackson had more targets, and that's because he is faster than Torrey Smith. He gets down the field better. And
it's an upgrade all around.
And he was a favorite target for Fitzpatrick when Winston was out there.
I can't wait for it, man. It's going to be so exciting. Yeah. It really is. It's a good answer. Hey, you know, look at me giving you praise.
Yesterday,
I'm giving you L's. Today, I'm giving you praise.
We still have to talk about Hector later.
Yeah, we do. Ray in Levittown, let's talk about Wentz and Foles. What's going on, Ray?
I mean, we're sweating like crazy out here.
Yeah, God bless the people working outside today.
Listen, you know, injury concerns aside, it's time to, like, decide who you are. If you're an Eagles fan, be an Eagles fan. If you're a Foles fan, get a Jacksonville jersey and go watch.
I feel the same exact way.
I can't take it anymore.
No, I think the only reason it came up today was because, you know, we're talking about most important Eagles, and Pete and Princeton mentioned Nate Sudfeld, and it's a good answer because that full security blanket is gone. If Carson's to go down, You know, we don't have that security anymore.
I think the last guy, or the second to last guy that Anthony talked to yesterday. I mean, like that, when you sniff that Fulton, how about until the first time they lose, which you knew an avalanche is coming that day, oh my God.
Okay, I might call out of work that day.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. There's two guys that are former Philadelphia athletes down in the state of Florida that I'm going to follow this year, and that's Markelle Fultz and Nick Foles. And, you know, I love Nick Foles. I think we all love Nick Foles. But to think that Nick Foles is the better option than Carson Wentz.
You're not following Jorge Alfaro?
You know, it's because it's an emotional attachment. You can't help
it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the man did something for us that nobody's ever been able to do.
Yeah. Listen, I was in Charleston, South Carolina, in March.
I love Charleston.
There's green everywhere, and, you know, good bandwagon jumpers, whatever. But it was so nice to talk to people that aren't so emotionally attached. They could actually, you know, understand that Carson is the better choice.
Absolutely. I don't even think it was a question.
Well, for a lot of people, it is.
I know, and I think it's silly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you. Ray, do you have a pair of Fan Fest tickets?
I do.
Okay, awesome. Make sure you say hello to us down there, all right?
I would say Doug is the...
You know, it's kind of amazing. 11:41 in the morning, first time somebody mentioned the head coach. And Ray, I'm not going to lie to you, I do have just a slight doubt about how influential Frank Reich was to the creativeness of this offense. It's a big year for Doug.
That's a question. I just think that I don't think that some of the play calling and the game planning was all super advantageous to a guy coming back. Like
absolutely. Absolutely.
Anyway.
Doug's a great answer, Ray, and we'll see you down at FanFest August 24th, exclusively presented by FanDuel. You're listening to the 97.5 Midday Show. We have Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. We got one open line if you want to get in. We're getting some good football discussion is because, frankly, I needed it. we are going to get into Hector Neris because Andrew's wrong on this one, and the Dodgers are soft as baby doo-doo. We'll get into that coming up as well. Time at the Fanatic, 11:41.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged.
Welcome back in, Fanatic Midday Show. Don't forget, we're giving out FanFest tickets all day. And who's presenting FanDuel, Andrew?
What?
Who's presenting FanFest?
FanDuel Sportsbook.
There you go.
I hear what you said. Who's presenting FanDuel?
I'm an idiot.
Yeah, that's all right. You've made a couple of mistakes.
Yeah. When you're up for and doing radio for like 9 hours,
yeah, I give you credit.
Happens.
I give you credit. So you did the 5 a.m. today, right?
Oh, yeah. Did the 5 a.m. yesterday, too.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It's good for you.
Grinding, man.
You had a nice hour off, though, sitting in traffic, driving down Xfinity Live yesterday.
I got to say, I was outside. I just ran down and grabbed some coffees during the break. Keep the energy up.
Yeah.
Not as hot as I thought. Tomorrow's supposed to be outrageous.
Sunday, 100 degrees.
Straight up, like yesterday again?
Yeah, straight up 100 degrees, and I have a game at 3 o'clock, you know? So it's going to feel wonderful outside.
Sweaty. So we're giving out FanFest tickets all morning. Saturday, August 24th, Xfinity Live, 1 to 5 p.m. You can get tickets from us. It's not hard because we are easy to get tickets from. All of our Fanatic hosts on site, Sal Pal, Jaws, Carabel, Tom McGinnis and Mark Zumoff, Bikini Beach, created by Elite Landscaping, special beach feature this year. Hot tubs have been added courtesy of Spa, Hearth, and Home. Details coming soon on how you can register to win a FanFest soak with some special ladies. We'll have Lamborghinis and Ferraris on site, two mobile escape rooms, a golf simulator with closest to the pin contest, a Ron Jaworski golf putting green. One lucky listener will win a football trip for two to the away game in Miami with Anthony Gargano, including flight, hotel, cruise around Miami, pregame tailgate, and tickets, courtesy of phillysportstrip.com. I will be on that trip as well. Looking forward to it.
Skipping my wedding.
Yeah, I hear you, man. I'm bummed. I wanted to be there. I'll be there in spirit. We're giving away a Wave Runner courtesy of DHY Motorsports. You know, we got a dunk tank, a climbing wall, Spider Mountain. A trip for four somebody will win to the happiest place on earth. That's right, Disney. We got speed pitch, bouncy boxing with huge boxing gloves, wiffle ball challenge zone, high striker, all courtesy of Holland's True Value right there in Lafayette Hill, right not far away from the Ace Club, the gorgeous Gary Player Golf Course. It's right next to it. Just added, the Sixers are bringing a half court to play on. The Dunk Squad will be there, the Sixers Dancers, the Sixers Drum Squad, and Sixers Liberty Bell. Some of our Fan Fest partners include Family and Company Jewelers, Club Risqué, Armor Metals and Recycling, and the U.S. Army. And thanks to our FanFest exclusive automotive partner, Turnersville Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, online at turnersvillejeep.com, and DHY Motorsports, make summer funner on a Wave Runner. Shop DHY.com, the area leader for everything power sports.
Kid can't even read.
Yeah, whose spa was it?
Junior!
Huh? Whose spa was it?
Hearth and Home? Hearth and Home?
There you go.
Yeah, kid can't even read. I haven't been on a Wave Runner in a long time. Man, those are fun. I would love to get back out there.
Freaks me out.
Really?
Yeah. I know some things that have happened to people on those, so I...
Oh, man, they're a blast.
They make summer funner.
Yeah. Get on a Wave Runner, you coward. Shakir in Wilmington's up next. What's going on, Shakir?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How y'all doing today?
Doing great, man.
All right, that's what's up. Hey, I just had a couple of things. I think the most important player or players, if I could, in this...
Sure, you can group them together a little bit.
Matt Pryor and Stefan Wisniewski. The Eagles are supposed to be challenging Matt Pryor, so it's going to be interesting to see if he steps up to the challenge. Obviously, when Brandon Brooks went down in that Saints game, we couldn't move the ball. And we can't have Carson back 40 or 50 times. That's just... That doesn't sound like a recipe for success. So that would be my pick.
It's a good one. I mean, look, Brandon Brooks, we don't know what we're going to get. He's a total unknown right now.
Yeah, Achilles is different.
Yeah, that's a bear of an injury to come back from, for sure. Totally. It's a good one. And Matt Pryor, look, we've been hearing a lot about Matt Pryor now for a year and a half or so. So, good. I hope they challenge him.
Yeah, and one other thing, too. I do want to say I went to the Phillies game the other day when Bryce hit the walk-off, and that was probably the best game I've ever been to because, like, it was like a home run derby on both sides. We get to the ninth inning. And
yeah, Neris blows
delay.
A save.
Well, even before that, there's a rain delay. Like, when is there ever a rain delay in the top of the ninth inning? There's three outs left. And so that was, like, crazy to me that happened, the rain delay, and then Neris blows the save.
And that's a really tough spot for Neris to come back in to go sit for 22 minutes, right. Come back after getting warmed up.
Did he curse out the weather gods?
He should have. He should have. But that's a tough spot for him. So, he did blow the save. But look, a lot of closers are going to struggle in that spot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sure the people that left, though, because there were a lot of people that left.
Oh, I'm sure they were pissed. Yeah. I know I would have been. I once left a game early with my dad. I think it was a Temple LSU game or something like a long time ago, and there was a buzzer beater shot. It was like SportsCenter top 10 play, and me and my dad looked at each other listening to it on the way home. And we were just like, all right, we're never leaving a game early again. We're idiots.
Yep, I never leave early, man. I always stay today.
Yeah, unless something comes up like bedtime or otherwise. Shakir, you got a pair of FanFest tickets?
No, I do not.
Awesome. We'd love to hook you up, man. Tyler will talk to you, get your information. We'll see you down there August 24th at Xfinity Live.
So you know what I found amazing? And I know today's been a big Eagles day, but the Phillies are relevant because they split a series with the Dodgers yesterday, which was huge.
Hey, I said at the beginning of the series, the split with the Dodgers is
a win. Yeah, you and I were on the same page.
And now you got two against the Pirates. You got three against the Tigers. You got to take advantage, and you got to force the front office's hand here and make them go get a pitcher.
So about a week ago, the Pirates were winning ball games. They've been struggling a little bit, so hopefully you can jump on top of a team that's been struggling in the
past. Can
I
just say one thing real quick to Gabe Kapler, because I know he listens? Do not pitch to Josh Bell unless you have to.
That's a good idea.
All right?
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no.
They got like one guy that can kill you. I'm hoping the Phillies can take two of three in Pittsburgh and maybe even...
No, I think it's only two. No, it's two.
It's three games.
Okay,
and then it's two in Detroit.
Detroit. Right,
and then you sweep the Tigers.
Yeah, you got to take two
and
three.
So how about you go 4-1 the next five games? And my biggest thing with the Dodgers series yesterday was that it not only told us that they're still alive, I hopefully sent a message to the front office, because the front office last Friday, Andy McPhail, we talked about the comments last Saturday when you and I did the show together. I was totally disappointed by what Andy McPhail was saying. I understood what he was saying.
I think his job is kind of the calm the waters kind of guy and quell expectations a little bit.
Yeah, I get that.
He did this with the Bryce Harper thing. Remember after the stupid money comment? He was like, well, we got to see what that money is, guys.
Yeah, and
we
all knew he was real snarky about things.
I hear you. I didn't like it at the time, but the more I digested it, I go, all right, I think he's just playing the calm the
waters. But he also made it sound like, well, if we miss the playoffs, we miss the playoffs. And I didn't like that.
No,
that
wasn't great.
That's a loser's mentality. That's a McFailing mentality.
See what
I
did there?
But I didn't like that.
McFailing mentality.
I'm hoping that series woke up the front office a little bit. And if they can win the next 4 out of 5 games against the Pirates and the Tigers, then we're having a better conversation. But last night I was doing the baseball show.
That's the Fanatic baseball show from 6 to 7 every night except most Thursdays.
Most Thursdays, yes. So I basically just asked the question, like, did this wake up the front office? And I talked to Ricky Pitalico last night, and he didn't really think so. And
what did you ask on the Dodgers baseball show, since you're such a big fan of theirs?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.